their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's a delight to be with you today as we face the issues. We look forward to your jumping on board, joining in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We're delighted that you take part and participate each and every week as week after week, day after day, we face the issues. We face the issues not based on denominational dogma or political rhetoric, but based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's God's word that has the final say-so, and not what man may say or do. Today's issue is going to be kind of multi-purposed. We're talking about today things that we need to know. There's several things that's taking place, trying to reach out and get our attention today in the national, international, and global news. Most of the headlines today is the Pope has died at the age of 88. The one that was supposed to be the very mouthpiece of God has now died. We'll talk about that late in the broadcast, get your take on it, and what it will cause in the future, or will it have any ripple effect. We'll talk about today also what's taking place in relationship to the latest Supreme Court ruling against President Trump. How should we respond to that? What are we going to do with that? We will look at also the fact that we find the one that is the head of the National Institute of Intelligence, I think that is the name of the organization, the group, it says Tulsi Gabbard, that is the National Intelligence Head, has now said that we have evidence that our voting machines, you remember those, the Dominion machines, that our voting machines can be and have been hacked in the past. Wow. Does that mean that we can go back and redo the 2016 and 2020 election? Does that mean that we go back and those that have been prosecuted and put in jail because of saying that the machines had been hacked and saying that it was a stolen election in 2020 in particular, many of them were tried on a kangaroo court, put in jail as a result of saying they had evidence of that. In fact, Fox News paid, I believe it was $780 million in order to settle a lawsuit because they had entertained the possibility that the election was fraudulent and that the voting machines were, in fact, could be and were hacked. We'll talk about those issues today. We want to settle on, ultimately today in this broadcast, want to settle on the spiritual aspect of where we are in our nation, what is taking place, and what we need to do focus on having God put back in our classrooms and focusing on what God is doing and not what man can do. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we look at the Word of God, John 8, 31 and 32 says, if you continue my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. This is the reason I call it the truth book, the Word of God. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. In Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. The Word of God is not to be in any way bifurcated, mitigated, changed, or in any way undermined. I think that's what we see happening today. Across the spectrum of religions, if you will, we're witnessing the watering down of the Word of God. I call it the reverse slandered versions of the Scripture. It is taking the Word of God and modifying it and modifying. I've used the term, ladies and gentlemen, if I can be repetitive at this point. It's like taking the old photocopier, the original photocopiers, where had thermal paper to make the copies. You take a wonderful original, put it through that type photocopier, and you get a thermal copy. About 90 days later, that copy is faded, and you take that copy and make a copy. It gets a more faded copy, until finally, after four or five copies of the faded copy, you have almost nothing as far as the reality of what was originally printed. That's what we see taking place today with the watering down of the different, quote, versions of the Scripture. Many of them are not even translations. They're just simply versions modernizing the Scripture. We go back to truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. We see that taking place today in the political spectrum. We see that taking place today in the religious world, especially when it comes to any discussion about the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. There's a mindset today that we can take a partial truth and make it a whole truth. I've said a half-truth is a whole lie. As the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made several statements, but I'll read one. He said, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And a little verification of that fact is found in the millennials. Now, I'm not picking on that age group, just speaking facts. The newest survey about the 18 to 35-year-old age group makes this statement. Headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, in that survey, these younger Americans, the millennials, say each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. Truth is truth. If it is not truth, it's not true. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, John Huss. John Huss says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge, standing for the truth. Be willing to stand even and defend the truth even to death. That's needed in America today, perhaps more than any other time in the history of our world. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power and backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, after a brief monologue introducing where we're going today, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Before we get into the monologue, let me just simply ask a question. All of last week, I was not on the air in person. We had a replay of pulpit messages, countdown to Calvary, leading up to Resurrection Sunday, which we just celebrated yesterday. I pray that you celebrated Easter, Resurrection Sunday. By the way, there's a lot of argument and debate about whether it should be called Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday. I believe that either one is appropriate. I have no problem, and I'm not bothered by either statement. There's some that get a little uptight when you say Easter rather than Resurrection Sunday. In fact, I find it interesting that those that say that have no proof. They're just quoting, hear me, quoting that statement. First of all, I pray that you had a good celebration of Resurrection Sunday, Easter. I pray that the celebration wasn't based around Easter egg hunts. Pray that it wasn't a celebration around the bunny rabbit. Pray that it wasn't a celebration around how many jelly beans you could eat. I have been amazed this Easter season and totally surprised at the number of churches that were publishing and pushing and trying to outwow other churches on how many Easter eggs you're going to hide. One church bragged and talked about how they were going to hide 2,000 eggs for kids to have a gigantic Easter egg hunt. I said, for the churches that do that, the pastor needs to come out on the platform in a giant bunny rabbit suit, pass out bags of jelly beans for everybody to eat the jelly beans during the time of the message. I find it not laughable, not laudable, but sad that we see so many churches that have fallen into the trap of having to celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday, in a fashion that would appease the woke culture that we're living in. But going back to the point before we get into the further monologue, I pray that you had a wonderful Easter resurrection celebration yesterday. But for those that are worried about Easter, let me read you a brief paragraph and a half from a large article entitled, What Are the Origins of Easter? The origins of Easter are obscure. It is often assumed that the name Easter comes from the pagan figure called Estra, E-O-S-T-R-A, who was celebrated as the goddess of spring by the Saxons of Northern Europe. According to the theory, Estra was the goddess of the east, from where the sun rises. Her symbol was a rabbit, a symbol of fertility, and a festival called Istra was held during the spring equinox by the Saxons to honor her. This theory on the origin of Easter is highly problematic. The major problem with associating the origin of Easter with the pagan goddess Estra is that we have no evidence that such a goddess was ever worshipped by anyone, anywhere, at any time. End quote. This article goes on to say, in the 19th century, the German folklore Grimm, G-R-I-M-M, researched the origins of the German name Easter, while admitting that he could find no solid link between Easter and pagan celebrations at all. He went on to say, the goddess O-S-A-R-A was based entirely on superstition and conjecture. There's no mention of the goddess in any writings anywhere, especially with any connection to the celebration of Easter. Another major headline, who was Estar, E-S-I-S-H-T-A-R, and is there any connection between Estar and Easter? Estar was the ancient Mesopotamian goddess of war, fertility, and sex. She's featured in the epic words of the Estar Gate, was part of the Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. Her worship involved animal sacrifice. Objects made to her sacrifice was in stone, and temple prostitution. Some people claim there exists a connection between Issachar and Easter. A popular meme has been circulating the internet making that claim. Superimposed over the image of Issachar are words, these words. This is Issachar, pronounced Easter. Easter was originally the celebration of Issachar, an Assyrian and Babylonian goddess of fertility and sex. Her symbol, like the egg and the bunny rabbit, were all still are fertility and sex symbols, or did you actually think eggs and bunnies had anything to do with the resurrection? Now, here's the key. However, there's no absolute evidence or conclusive connection between the pagan goddess Issachar and the Christian celebration of Easter. Any theory that Easter is named after Issachar is pure speculation and nothing else. There's also no proof that Issachar was ever associated with the egg or rabbit. In fact, the symbol there was the lion and not an egg or a rabbit. Ladies and gentlemen, I had to say that. It is amazing to me the number of so-called Christians will pick up on whatever some guru and intellectual person on internet might say, believe it and repeat it as facts, and then want to make fun of and say that Christians ought not to use the term Easter. By the way, for your edification, Easter is mentioned one time in the Bible. Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Right page, left column, about a quarter of the way down in my Bible. And it is referencing calling Easter, and it is referring thereto Passover. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me set your mind at ease. If you celebrated Easter yesterday, wonderful. If you celebrated Resurrection Sunday yesterday, wonderful. My only prayer is that it was not around a bunny rabbit, Easter egg hunts, or Easter eggs, or jelly beans. If that's the case, find a church where the gospel is preached and the truth. It goes back to, if you lie to a child growing up and saying, we're going to celebrate Easter, here's an Easter basket, here's an Easter bunny, here's a bag of jelly beans, and by the way, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt over at our church. If they grow up and discover they've been lied to about Easter and what it's about, and especially if they're grown up and they're told that Santa Claus is the key feature in Christmas, then, ladies and gentlemen, how do you expect our kids to grow up believing anything else you might say about the Word of God? That's the challenge today. You can put that in the back of your mind and ponder it for a while. But ladies and gentlemen, today I believe we're witnessing more than ever in the history of our nation what I call a full face-off, a full confrontation between the executive branch, that's the president, and the judicial branch, that's the Supreme Court. And the latest ruling today, ladies and gentlemen, is absolute collision with the constitutional authority of the president. In fact, Judge Alito and Judge Thomas both said no to that ruling. Perhaps you've heard it, perhaps you haven't. I want your opinion, your thoughts. Has the Supreme Court gone beyond its boundaries? Can the Supreme Court overrule the executive branch? Does the president have the authority to deport aliens coming into America? When someone comes into America, not coming in the front door, but comes in the back door, they've already broken the law. Should we prosecute lawbreakers? Should we punish those that come in, rape, rob, pillage, kill, and steal in America? Is that the idea that the Supreme Court is postulating? I believe it's what we're seeing today. And I believe it's we're facing today, and I'm not an extremist, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to say that we need to be frightened and hide in a closet or crawl under the bed and be fearful. But I'm saying that we need to recognize that we are not going to enter into a constitutional crisis. We're already in one. We're in the very apex of a constitutional crisis. Headlines. Alito calls Supreme Court block of Venezuelan gang deportations legally questionable. The High Court shunned normal procedure in blocking the removals. Justice Samuel Alito said in a dissent joined by Justice Clarence Thomas. Dateline, April 20th. Supreme Court Justice Alito filed a strongly worded dissent from the court's order issued early April 19th, temporarily blocking the Trump administration from deporting alleged members of the Venezuelan criminal gang. The dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justice Clarence Thomas, was posted on the court's website. Here's the sum. In sum, literally in the middle of the night, the court issued unprecedented and legally questionable relief without giving the lower courts a chance to rule, without hearing from the opposing party, within 8 hours of receiving the application, with dubious factual support for its order, and without providing any explanation for its order, said Judge Alito. Quote, I refused to join the court's order because we had no good reason to think that under the circumstances, issuing an order at midnight was necessary or appropriate. Both the executives and the judiciary have an obligation to follow the law. The executive must proceed under the terms of our order in Trump versus JGG and this court. should follow established procedure, Alito wrote. The justices acted even though it is not clear the court had jurisdiction or authority to even hear the case. The papers before us, while alleging that the applicants were in imminent danger of removal, provided little concrete support for that allegation at all, said Justice Alito in his dissent. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with a major, major, major constitutional crisis, in my most humble opinion. Our nation needs to get back to the rule of law. Our nation needs to get back to our constitutional requirements for the executive branch and the position of judiciary according to our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, we find in Psalms 33:12 a verse that I believe is apropos. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to get back to the Word of God, get back to our founding fathers, get back to the biblical basics, get back to the constitutional order of things in our nation. And I say that because it's not just a matter of what's happening with the presidency. It's not just a matter of what's taking place out of the Oval Office today that's being challenged. In fact, by the way, just for your edification, I believe it's been about the latest document that I read on the subject, about 174 judicial inquiries and or what you'd call lawsuits against the president or his cabinet members. I believe some 60 or 70 injunctions now that have been filed. How do we expect the president to carry out his authority, his responsibility, and his office if we have judges across America, as one individual dealing with the constitutionality of it, as one authority on the Constitution said, if we have a president that can be controlled by a single judge sitting in a small office, in a small court, in a small circuit, in a small city, in a small state, that can rule the nation by the flick of the pen, we're in trouble. That's where we are today. Fortunately, the Trump administration just filed a response. Headline, Trump administration files response to the Supreme Court, pause on deportations. The Trump administration filed a response on April the 19th to the Supreme Court's order that temporarily blocked it from deporting a group of Venezuelan men accused of being gang members. The order reads this, the government is directed not to remove any member of the putative class detainees from the United States until further order of this court. The order reads, Justice Thomas and Alito dissented from the decision. But I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a president that's not afraid of the courts, a president that's not afraid of being challenged by the courts. In fact, my personal opinion, if you want to know, that, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Judge Chief Justice John Roberts is in some way hindered from doing what he knows he should do. I believe in some way he has been, neutered in carrying out the responsibility that he has in office. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is, but I believe there's something there that eventually we will find out. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Delighted that you're listening. Pray that you'll respond and let us hear your thoughts and your feelings about this subject today, the variety of subjects that we're talking about. Look at another headline. Judge blocks Trump from ending legal status of 530,000 illegal aliens that Biden flew in. Perhaps you're not aware of it. During the Biden administration, time and time and time again, he would literally fly plane loads of illegals into America, dropping them off in city after city after city through the heartland of America. No, they didn't go through the process. They didn't come through the front door. They didn't even have to come through the back door. They were carried by U.S. taxpayer dollars in flights paid for by taxpayers into all segments and portions of America on the basis that they could be used as workers. Listen to this. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from revoking legal status and work permits. Joe Biden took illegals from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, flew them into America, spiked them throughout the nation, and gave them, quote, legal status, did not review them case by case. The Biden administration program allowed migrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela to be flown directly into the interior parts of America and granted them work authorization. The program was intended to provide safe and orderly pathway to the United States Department of Homeland Security to terminate all categories of this parole program. Ladies and gentlemen, when we tried to clean up the Joe Biden Act, when we tried to clean up the Joe Biden undermining of America, when the president comes in and tries to do what is constitutionally legal in America, all of a sudden lawfare continues to try to wrap the knuckles of President Trump and to hamstring him so that he cannot do what he promised to do in his election campaign. We need to pray for Donald Trump's wisdom, safety, and protection to continue to do what I believe God has called him to do. I believe he's in the place, just like in the little book of Esther, where Esther said perhaps she's been put in that position for times like these. I believe that for times that we're in today, God has given us President Donald J. Trump. It's the Christian's responsibility to pray for Trump, asking God to protect him and give him wisdom to carry out the task God's called him to do. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called lawfare. You remember when Trump was running for election just a few months back? The number of lawsuits, judgments, and days that President Trump sat in the courtroom with what is called lawfare. Listen to what the Democrats are doing now. That was bad enough. Headline, Congresswoman admits Democrats meet every single week to plot and plan lawfare against Trump. California Democrat Representative Laura Friedman has admitted that House Democrats are coordinating every single week with the far-left state attorneys, attorney generals, to weaponize the justice system against President Trump and his America First agenda. Speaking to voters, Friedman bragged that the House Democrats have established a so-called litigation work group, also known as shadow government, comprised of approximately 75 sitting members of the Democratic Congress who gather behind closed doors every week to craft legal strategies in conjunction with the state's attorney generals, the same attorney generals who have brought politically motivated lawsuits and investigations against Trump, his businesses, his allies, and his policies. Listen, every single week we have a litigation work group where a large number of us, and I'm still talking about 75 members of the House, sit down with the attorney generals in those states to talk about legal strategies. This is all going on every single week behind the scenes. It's nonstop. Nonstop introduction of bills, legislation, nonstop being on social media as much as we can without being trolled or throttled, without the crazy analytics and doing all these things. Friedman admitted she lays bare the hypocrisy of a party that lectures about democracy while secretly colluding to subvert democracy and the will of the people. Ladies and gentlemen, that's taking place week after week after week. How can we expect President Trump to deliver on his promises to save America, make America great again, to deliver on the promises to protect the United States of America's borders, when we have this taking place from the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic parties trying their best to undermine and tear down and destroy the warp and the woof that's the fabric, the foundation of America? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We come back and continue to face the issues.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida, To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine,